Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Yes, good morning. Welcome. Here to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM from Burnaby, up here on the mountain, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Catesy, Kwikwetlem, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse, here with you this Thursday, as most Thursdays, to share a little bit of talk, a little bit of music, and just get the morning going here on CJSF. Today on the show, a couple different pieces. One is an interview with Margaret Grenier of the Coastal Dance Festival. We'll have that in the first bit of the show. And then we will hear a little special treat, which is installments of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, which is an initiative of the National Campus Community Radio Association and some other folks to bring out some Francophone content and content about Francophonie in Canada. So we're going to get that. And as usual, some music, because I can't make a radio show without music. Are you crazy? Let's get right into it. This is from the fantastic new record by Black Belt Eagle Scout, which is called The Land, The Water, The Sky. This is the opening track, My Blood Runs Through This Land.
Yeah.
Black Belt Eagle Scout. My blood runs through this land from the standout new album, The Land, The Water, The Sky, here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. And now I'm going to be bringing you an interview that intrepid CJSF intern Vivienne did. She spoke yesterday with the artistic and executive director of the Coastal Dance Festival, Margaret Grenier. They talked about the upcoming Coastal Dance Festival, which is this week. It's this weekend, starts today, as a matter of fact, March 2nd to 5th, 2023, running at New Westminster's Anvil Center. Just a cool annual performance arts festival bringing Indigenous guests from across the Northwest Coast, Canada, the U.S., and abroad. There's a partnership with dancers from New Zealand this year. Just all sorts of cool stuff. And Vivienne and Margaret get into it. So without further ado, here is that interview. And then we'll talk after. Enjoy.
Hello, we are CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'm here today with a special guest, and we will talk about the Coastal Dance Festival. I'm here with Margaret Grenier, and do you want to introduce yourself? So who are you, and what are you doing here in Vancouver?
My name is Margaret Grenier. I'm the executive and artistic director with the Dancers of Dam Mohammed, and I am the festival director for the Coastal Dance Festival. We're hosting our 16th annual Coastal Dance Festival at the Anvil Center in Vancouver.
Yes, thank you. And we came here together to talk about the Coastal Dance Festival. So when and where is it happening?
The festival this year is happening at the Anvil Center. It's one of our festival partners. It's 16th year, so we've had the festival since 2008, and we're going to be bringing together Indigenous artists from throughout the Northwest Coast of Canada up into Alaska, the Yukon, as well as artists coming from the far north, Nunavut, and some international artists as well from Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, that's so cool. And yeah, how does the program looks like? So what are you doing there, and what kind of cultures are coming together?
Well, the festival this year runs from Thursday, March 2nd until Sunday, March 5th. It's going to have two evenings of programming with ticketed performances, as well as what we're calling an artist sharing. And the artist sharing is really an opportunity to hear from our artists, speak a little bit about their dance form, their Indigenous training, and how they learned their culture, their languages, and their artistic practices. And then on the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, we have afternoons, which are more of a pay-what-you-can type of environment where it's really oriented towards audiences of all ages, and it's an opportunity to see these artists who are coming from Indigenous communities from various areas, really represent their languages, their arts, their songs, their dances, and their stories, and their history as well, the work that they've done to revitalize these dances.
Yes, sounds good. And I also read that you can attend the event for free at some performances, right?
Yes, the Saturday and Sunday afternoon programming are free, as well as the artist sharings. And the only events are the evening ticketed events on Thursday and Friday.
Yes, and if you're interested in the tickets, I will, or Jesse will link on the CJSF website to the link for the tickets. And it is the 16th annual Coastal Dance Festival, you already said it. But how is the story, and how and by who was the festival invented? Could you give me more details about that?
Well, the festival has quite a long history. It started in Vancouver in 2008 as part of the Cultural Olympiad. And at that time, it was something that we really felt there wasn't another festival like it. A lot of the dance festivals focus on contemporary dance. We wanted to create a space for our Indigenous traditional artists. But there was a festival that has a history that goes back to the 1960s, and that was a festival that really focused on revitalization of dance on the Northwest Coast. And so because that was a festival that I had an opportunity to grow up with, I wanted to ensure that my children would have the same experiences. And in 2008, we were able to have the opportunity to bring the festival back and have held it annually for enough years now that we have a new generation of dancers that are starting to grow up in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds great. And why did the people start celebrating it, and why is it celebrated until today?
I think something that we really feel is quite important is as Indigenous peoples and with our arts and our culture is that it's something that needs to be practiced. It's something that needs to be lived. So it's really important that we have the opportunity to gather, to share dances that in some cases are thousands of years old, but also to share and create new songs and dances, and to really ensure that this art is strong and it's there for future generations.
Mm-hmm. And you also talked about new dancers. So I heard that dancers of the Dame La Hamid, I hope I pronounced it right, present an exclusive excerpt from the Raven Mother. Could you explain what that is and why it is so special?
Yes. The work that was done back in the 1960s, that really was the generation that ensured that we have song and dance today. And for our family, my mother, Elder Margaret Harris, she passed 2 years ago at the beginning of the pandemic. And we really wanted to create something that honored not only her legacy, but the legacy of her generations and elders such as herself. So we're creating a work called Raven Mother to speak to the work of our mothers. That's going to premiere in 2024. And this year at the festival, we're going to be sharing a short excerpt from that work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds so nice, and I hope I can attend too. So this year you also said that you will have not only the dancers, but also a cultural exchange with New Zealand. Why did you, in other countries as well, but why did you choose to cooperate with New Zealand?
Well, there's a lot of parallels with our, not only just the more recent colonial history, but I think we are, we're coastal people. We're people that have a strong connection to our canoe culture, to our, what we call longhouses, and they call their marais. There's a lot of parallels as well with our poles and the storytelling and the carrying forward of lineage. Our families had an opportunity to connect with artists from New Zealand going all the way back to 2010, and it's a relationship that we've continued over the years. We'll be traveling there later in this year, and so we're really excited to host some artists coming from New Zealand at the festival this year. We were able to host a youth group from New Zealand even before the pandemic, because our festival was just before everything shut down, so it's something that's very dear to our hearts and something that I feel we always gain a lot from the artists there.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that this exact culture exchange, it is so important for us, for you, for the festival?
I think that while a lot of the work that we do is, you know, we do it locally and within our own communities, but I think there's so much to learn. In New Zealand, there's a really strong history of of language, of dance practices that are taught and formalized. You can receive a post-secondary degree in the cultural practices of the Indigenous peoples in New Zealand, and that's not something that we have here in Canada. So I think that there is always a lot to learn from one another, and that's something that I hope for the future of our Indigenous people here as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very, very true. And everybody is invited to that festival, so everybody could come. And do you want to bring a specific message to the people that are attending the Coastal Dance Festival?
I think that what I hear from our audiences that really resonates with them is that when you come to the festival, it's not about just the art that's being shared, that people are really impacted by how much this means to the artists, to the families, to the elders and the youth that are doing this work. And I think that's what will help us to really find a way to bridge understanding of our Indigenous peoples, our languages, our culture, our arts, and help us to move forward collectively as we, you know, work through reconciliation of our colonial history.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And also to support the Indigenous people better here in Vancouver. And yeah, we almost here at the end of this interview about the Coastal Dance Festival. Do you have anything you would like to add or that I have missed asking about?
Well, I think we covered quite a lot, but I think that this year we are still feeling that we missed being able to gather when we weren't able to over the last couple of years. And so there's a real strong feeling with the artists and our long-standing audiences that it's an important gathering for us and something that everyone is looking forward to.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And could you shortly explain where people can buy tickets if they're interested now?
Yes, the two easiest ways to buy tickets is either to go to the Anvil Center website or go to the Dancers of Dan Muhammad website, where you'll find a festival page on the Coastal Dance Festival 2023. That'll mm-hmm. link you back to the Anvil.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and if you have struggled to find it, you can also check out our archives on cjsf.ca. I will all link these information in our description. So I will come back now to my very last question. So why do you think it is so important that we should support such festival like the Coastal Dance Festival?
I think that it's important because it's important for our Indigenous communities who are doing this work, but I think it's so important that we gather with Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities. I think it's important to support the work of the artists and to really, you know, encourage our younger generations to continue to do this work. And I think that I've seen that transformation over the generations and over the years, and I think that's the hope that we all have for what's to come.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I am also hoping that I can attend the festival and to learn about new cultures, new dances, and yeah, to connect with communities. So thank you so much for giving me information about the festival. I hope that our listeners are very interested now because it's such an amazing festival and you should definitely check it out. And yeah, thank you so much for giving me this interview, Margaret. And I hope, we'll see each other on the dance festival.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That was, Margaret Grenier speaking with Vivienne, CJSF intern, about the Coastal Dance Festival featuring dancers of Damela Hamid, which is happening beginning today, March 2nd to 5th, 2023, at the Anvil Center, which is on Columbia Street in New Westminster. If you want tickets to go see the Coastal Dance Festival, including a premiere excerpt the dancers of Damela Hamid's first next full-length work, Raven Mother, you can go to coastaldancefestival.com or you can go to the Anvil Center's website at anvilcenter.com. That's coastaldancefestival.com or anvilcenter.com. Or you can go to damelahamid.ca. That's damelahamid.ca. Or you can just search for Coastal Dance Festival and you'll get there. You can buy tickets to see many, many dances. Yeah, you should do that. Anyway, on the suggestion of Margaret, we're now going to go to music from the Jerry Cans. This is from their album Inusik Life. It is called Ukyuk, here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And one last time, coastaldancefestival.com for tickets to the Coastal Dance Fest.
Whoa! Calgary, wheeled up to me.
Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
Broadcasting on the internet and at 90.1 FM from high atop Burnaby Mountain, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Hey, welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You just heard a track by Geist, Hurricane Gold, the title track of their new record. This album is really growing on me. Some cool alt country. Love it, love it, love it. Plus, it's a concept album about the difficulties of parenthood and being a single mother and all sorts of cool stuff. So check that out. It's on Bandcamp or wherever you get your music. Geist is the name of the band, G-E-I-S-T. Earlier in this hour of Speak Up, you heard me talk about, well, you heard Vivian speak with Margaret about the Coastal Dance Festival. One more reminder, you can go to coastaldancefestival.com or anvilcenter.com to grab tickets for that. Something else you might be interested in is True to Place, Stemet Stechwa Tel Chetel, an exhibition that's happening at the Bill Reed Gallery until March 19th, so you still got a couple weeks to go check it out. It's curated by artist and muralist Hemontalat Kerilin Victor. He uses indigenous themes and place-based stories to inform the artistic practice of 10 indigenous painters while continuously exploring new and innovative tools and forms of expression. Are you ready to see a true story relating to personal history or oral history that describes the distant past? Come see this exhibition at the Bill Reed Gallery. For more information or to purchase tickets, you can go to the Bill Reed Gallery website, which is billreedgallery.ca. That's Bill, B-I-L-L, Reed, R-I-E-D, gallery.ca. It's at the Bill Reed Gallery until March 19th at 639 Hornby Street in Vancouver, B.C., Yeah, go check out some cool art. Go check out the Coastal Dance Festival happening this weekend, March 2nd to 5th, Thursday to Sunday. Okay, and now into, I know we're already 8 minutes into the second half of this show. So I'm going to now, as I mentioned, pivot to some Francophone stuff. And that is going to be a feature in English about Francophony. And also some Francophone music. I myself grew up going, well, English is my first language, but beginning in kindergarten, I did French immersion all the way until the end of grade 9 when it ceased being available to me. And it impacted my life in a very positive way. So let's celebrate that. Let's learn a little bit more about it. I'm going to start with a local artist, one of my favorites, Missy D. This is title track of a record that came out last April, just over a year ago, called Casse des Pau, here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Ben, on va voir, quoi. Tu sais, c'est le retour à rien. Casse des pas. Tu penses qu'ils vont comprendre? Ok. 1, 2, 3, on y va, on y va. 4, 5, 6, bébé, on a du bis. 7, 8, 9, dans mon panier, 10. C'est le son de ma musique, je calcule et j'en profite. 1, 2, 3, on y va, on y va. 4, 5, 6, bébé, on a du bis. 7, 8, 9, dans mon panier, 10. C'est le son de ma musique, je calcule et j'en profite. Bonjour, je me présente, je m'appelle Diane. Missy D les étonne, la petite francophone. Retourne au commencement, où elle le fait franchement. En français, pour la famille et pour maman. Fanatique de rom-com, soul, baby love son. Poétique, elle s'abonne en glisse sur les mélodies. Je sors ma bulle aujourd'hui, effet pandémie ou nostalgie. Je suis prête à vos marques, et pas. 1, 2, 3, on y va, on y va. 4, 5, 6, bébé, on a du bis. 7, 8, 9, dans mon panier, 10. C'est le son de ma musique, je calcule et j'en profite. Like, ooh, let me drop some French and some English too. I know you ready to say, comment allez-vous? Playing with the rhythm and falling with the groove. Hey, bah, c'est ma love en français, c'est le grand amour. À la folie, à la passion, de jour au jour. Chaque moment, le son m'attrape et m'emporte, me signe et me raconte. Il était une fois ou autrefois. Ce que t'entends, c'est ma mémoire, le début de mon histoire. Oh, hey! C'est du naughty bad nature, au school aventure. C'est le rythme qui te fait hocher, un triple, triple, trip français. Style olympique sur scène, aussi rapide que scène. Volté, je danse sur cette mélodie. Saute comme le fait Gabi, Serena, Naomi. Match point poétique du 5e as en 2022. Vous êtes bien témoin, je suis de retour à 1. 1, 2, 3, on y va, on y va. 4, 5, 6, bébé, on a du bis. 7, 8, 9, dans mon panier, 10. C'est le son de ma musique, je calcule et j'en profite. 1, 2, 3, on y va, on y va. 4, 5, 6, bébé, on a du bis. 7, 8, 9 dans mon panier, 10, c'est le son de ma musique, je calcule et j'en profite.
Chante avec moi.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Le retour à 1, le retour à 1, le retour à 1, et quand 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Le retour à 1, case départ. Le retour à 1, et goes 1, 2, 3, yeah. Et 4, 5, 6, baby. 7, 8, 9, 8, 10, baby. 1, 2, 3, on y va, on y va. 4, 5, 6, baby, on a du peace. 7, 8, 9, dans mon panier, 10. C'est le son de ma musique, je calcule et j'en profite. 1, 2, 3, on y va, on y va. 4, 5, 6, bébé, on a du peace. 7, 8, 9, dans mon panier, 10. C'est le son de ma musique, je calcule et j'en profite. Diane, le retour à 1, case départ.
That's right, Casse Départ by Missy D here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, where we're playing you a installment of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, which is a nationwide project to celebrate bilingualism, to celebrate French language speaking. And we're going to just get right into the very first episode of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, which will also set up the project, featuring an interview with Alex Friedman. Enjoy.
25 years of Rendezvous de la Francophonie. It's time to celebrate. Welcome to the Franco Podcast. Hello, my name is Catherine Fisher, and I had the pleasure of interviewing 6 bilingual Canadians for this podcast. In this episode, I speak to Alex Friedman, Executive Director of the Community Radio Fund of Canada. I want to start by asking you, what languages did you speak as a child?
So I was raised in English, but I attended an entirely French public school in London, Ontario, from kindergarten to grade 6, and my mother speaks 5 languages. So there was always kind of a plethora of different languages. She speaks German, Russian, Serbo-Croatian, French, and English. So my world has always been filled with the wonderful sounds of language.
How about your father?
My father's an American who went to school at the Sorbonne. So he also speaks French, but with a very uniquely American accent.
So did you folks speak French at all at home?
We didn't, actually. We didn't speak French much at home at all, other than when I was doing homework for French school. In hindsight, it's a bit of a disappointment, because once I got out of French school, I found myself better capable to speak French than the public system in Ontario. And so it was very discouraging as a student. And I actually got out of French classes entirely because I felt I could teach the teacher. So that there was no French in the home then caused me for a number of years to not speak French at all, until I went to work in Montreal as a journalist. And believe me, when you try to interview the Sûreté du Québec in English, it doesn't go very well. So there was a relearning curve, which was unfortunate, but there we are.
How has your concept of being bilingual changed over time?
It's just part of the fabric of my life. I've always understood that I've been able to do it. What I see more, I think, is as a leader and as somebody who works in Ottawa, I have a lot of really talented people I'd love to be able to hire in different capacities. But if they can't do it in both languages, regardless of how qualified they are, there's really not much room for me to be able to bring them into the door. And so my perception as I've grown in my life is that the importance of being able to speak both languages is just so much more important. And I've raised both of my children in Quebec, and they go to a Francophone school. And in our household, my wife speaks in French to the kids, and I speak in English to the kids. So we've really kind of doubled down on our position on this and our desire to ensure that the next generation is better equipped.
Yeah, I wish I'd done a little more French in school, because French is a bit scant.
And it's daunting, right? And even for me, when I have conversations in French, if I have to present at a board meeting in French, I've done this for years, but it's daunting. It's not my natural space, and my head doesn't think in French.
So on the topic of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, so you're the ED, but tell me more about what the fund does.
So the fund provides support for community, campus, and Indigenous radio stations across the country. And so we working with commercial broadcasters in the federal government, seek out new lines of funding and new ways of providing support for this large swath of broadcasters who, you know, broadcast programming in as many as 65 different languages. Many of our stations are either Anglophone stations in Quebec or Francophone stations in places like Peace River, Alberta. And so a lot of what we do is respond to these stations, in particular do is respond to the needs of those communities. And because radio has this unique ability to convey the sound and texture of language, it has an intrinsic role in the preservation and protection of language. The more we are able to hear the sounds and the regional dialects, because, you know, if you're a French speaker in New Brunswick, the French is vastly different from the French in Quebec. So French in Canada in itself is not homogenous. And so what we do is provide an opportunity in all these languages for those sounds to be broadcast and distributed to those who want to engage with.
Mm-hmm. That must be amazing for you to have a sort of an overview of what all of the stations in Canada are doing.
Well, and every time we get to a conference, either through the NCRA or otherwise, I'm sitting around with these people and I hear this regularly. Yeah, it's really quite something. And I think that even, you know, Anglophone stations are aware of and will broadcast programming in French in their schedule. No community in Canada is strictly one language or the other.
So for people that might not be familiar with community radio, can you sort of sketch out what community radio is about?
So community radio it's a broadcasting undertaking that is based in the community. All the stations are not for profit. All of the stations are run by community boards. By and large, they're supported by a network of volunteers that come from the communities that they serve. So community radio then has a unique way of reflecting their own community back to others. Community radio is on the ground with local news and information. Community radio is the first place we hear emerging Canadian artists. Community radio is the bedrock of what I like to call the Canadian voice. They're the stations who believe firmly in the mission and not so much in the profit. It's about what these stations do and not how they return investments to shareholders. And so it's a fundamental difference in how we approach communicating.
And how is community radio different from, say, the CBC?
So the CBC, for many, many years, has focused primarily on hubs and they still have the funding to be able to be in the local communities. You know, the journalists, for example, in Newfoundland and St. John's, try to get out to Sydney and you'll never see a CBC journalist unless there's a major incident. And so the CBC, I'm not knocking the CBC, does a remarkable job as a monolithic national broadcaster. But they don't have that individual community touch. They don't walk out of their studios in Sydney and into the grocery store with their listener. So the CBC does a wonderful job of being this massive thing, but doesn't do a great job of being on the ground. And the other piece is, because of the way they've structured themselves, and I speak to this with some authority as a 15-year veteran of the CBC, there are a few of us who were able to transition over linguistic lines, but there's not a many of them. And the CBC, for lack of a better term, I hate it, but tends to be very siloed linguistically, and there's no merging or sharing. When I think about community radio, I think of a place where from 1 hour to the next, you can be hearing a broadcast in Farsi about the plight of Iranian women and a way of interpreting Iranian news for Canadian Iranians. The next hour, you can jump immediately to a classical music programming and finally land in a Caribbean soca experience at the end of the night. And it's that variety, because as I say, we're not a homogenous and we're not just one thing in any Canadian community. So community radio compared to the CBC has a unique ability to really reflect the texture and tone of those communities that they serve, as opposed to the province of Ontario.
Obviously, there's been a lot of changes. Radio, some people are saying, is less relevant than it used to be. How do you find community radio stations are changing?
So first of all, I would say I would disagree with that point. We've recently seen studies suggesting that Canadians still engage with audio programming, you know, significantly more with AM and FM. And when I say significantly more, You know, we're talking about 39% of Canadians still get audio programming on AM/FM broadcast. And the next best competitor is YouTube at about 14%. So I would first of all say that AM/FM still plays a critical role in connecting Canadians. The way community radios have embraced digital, though, has been a remarkable transformation. And community radio, while we remain, and I think uniquely in terms of community, public, and commercial broadcasters, will need to remain on the towers because we broadcast to communities that don't have, in some cases, digital connections. But only 24% of Canada's Indigenous communities have access to high-speed internet. So when it comes to connecting those communities, we need to be on the broadcast tower. However, we've also, and we've seen this time and again, embracing live streaming, embracing new ways of amplifying the signal, because there's a real desire for that community radio content. It's just so difficult on shoestring budgets to create the platforms and the different venues for that to get out. But as always, community radio is creative and passionate and develops those ways even in even with a lack of funding to be able to do it, which is why our fund has recently pivoted some of what we do to really promote the transition to digital in some way. But I think community radio will have to live with a foot in both worlds for many, many years to come. I remember 25 years ago in journalism school hearing about the imminent death of radio. And here we are today, still as a dominant medium.
Do you want to highlight two or three stations in Canada and the interesting and innovative things that they've done with money given by the fund?
Oh, boy, I might get in some trouble here because of course, we love all of the projects that are out there. But let me think of a few. So, one of the things we support is local journalism. And so we're really proud to be able to provide salaries and funding for as many as 41 stations across Canada to put journalists in news desert. I think that's been one of the most amazing projects we've been involved with. As a former journalist, and as I watch the decline of quality information, to be able to contribute to that dialogue and to provide support for stations to contribute to that dialogue has been just remarkable. I'll point to the station up in Dawson City during the pandemic that was running radio plays. Right? Artists were not able to get into theater to be able to produce the plays, but we needed more than ever to be able to connect with a cultural expression and an expression of the communities in which we live. And so to be able to use some funding to create radio plays with these artists and to be able to create art on the radio was this incredibly, this is a really incredible way of engaging with some of those elements. And so, I mean, those, again, I could go on and on and on, but those are a couple of programs where I think the funding we provide, and it's a great example of the funding we provide, has made a material difference, not just for the stations, right? When we support the station, we support the communities.
2023 is the Rendezvous de la Francophonie's 25th anniversary. What does the Francophonie mean to you, and what does the Rendezvous de la Francophonie's month celebration of the Francophonie mean to you?
It means that we can shine a spotlight on the beauty that is French in Canada. I'll ask the question I often ask about 1 month. Why just 1 month? Why don't we spend more time than that? But when we have a month like this, when we can focus on this, when we can tell these stories, when we can give non-Francophones the ability to relate with the experiences of Francophones, this was really powerful moment of connection. One of the challenges in society is a lack of understanding of what's happening on the other side of your hedge. This gives English Canada an ability to see across the hedge, to understand why Francophones are so passionate about protecting the language, why a province like Quebec has created an entire star system to promote its own arts and culture, and has done so in a fashion that has elevated that language and the arts and culture of that language to a level that nobody has seen in any other province in Canada. And yet, if you sit in Alberta, you don't understand this. And so La Francophonie, or Célébration de la Francophonie, is really this incredible portal to be able to bridge that and to break down the barriers that we often find in terms of common understanding. I hear it all the time from people across this country. You know, my wife and I will say, we were in a coffee shop in Winnipeg, and we were speaking French to one another, and somebody came up to us and said, "Hey, I want you to speak Canadian." That person needs to hear and understand why we're so proud to speak French, and why we both feel, and so many of us feel, that speaking French is speaking Canadian.
Well, I very much appreciate your time and your insight.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Merci beaucoup pour l'opportunité. Puis vive la France.
Thanks for tuning into the Rendezvous de la Francophonie's Franco podcast. In this episode, you heard from Alex Friedman, Executive Director of the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Leurs ébats, qu'importe ce qu'on dit de nous.